After the Sabbath at dawn on that first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid, but go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of our Lord for this Easter Sunday. I invite you to please be seated. What is it that you might remember? What is it that you might learn this Easter 2017 that will really make a difference in your life? One of the sources of learning for me has always been children. I love to learn from them because they give me added insight. For example, one of our late night talk show hosts this week was interviewing children, asking them about Easter. And one child said in response to "What is Easter?" said, "Well, that's the day that Jesus came out of the grave." And he said, "Well, what did he do?" He said, "Well, the first thing he did was he made an Easter bunny." You probably weren't aware of that, did you? Know that. Another child, when asked what it was that Jesus first did when he got out of the tomb, said he did his happy dance, and he started hopping all around, and it was quite a sight. I don't even want to imagine the sight I just portrayed for you right now. I hope there's no video of that. One of the things that was really sad about that whole experience was very few of the children really knew what Easter was all about. So I was very encouraged this week when one of the members of our church was going past our house. My wife and I were out doing some yard work this week, and they came by, and she had in a stroller her little, almost not quite yet, two-year-old. And they stopped, and we visited for a little bit, and she said, "Tell Pastor Gary what happened on Good Friday." So I got down, and she said, "Jesus died." And the mom said, "And how do we feel about that?" And the little girl, not quite two, said, "Uh-oh." Then she said, "Now tell Pastor Gary what happened on Easter Sunday." And she said, not quite 2 years old, she said, "Jesus rose. And how do we feel about that?" "Yippee!" It was so heartening to see that response in a little, not quite two-year-old. It kind of reminded me of a conversation I had with a Naperville woman some time ago. She had three little girls, and she was really kind of struggling. It was the 10th anniversary of her mom's passing, and so she had a rather melancholy mood, and we were talking about that. She said on the day of the anniversary, she had told her children about that, and they were talking, and then she had to run a lot of errands, so she got all three of her little girls in the back seat of the car. She put them in their car seats and or strapped them in with their seat belts. They were all safely tucked in, and they went on their way. As she was driving down 75th Street, she said, all of a sudden, there was this shriek in the back seat, the kind of shriek that would have made a rookie mom hit the brakes and probably cause a chain reaction car accident. But being a veteran mom, she simply slowed the car a little bit and asked what was going on. And the little girl in the back said, "I get it." And she didn't know what she was referring to, and she wondered, I get it. Is it her turn to get one of the toys in the back? Was that what was going on? I get it, Mom, she said. And she simply said, going very slowly, looking in the rearview mirror, she said, you get what? I get it, she said. I get that Grandma is with us. And her mom said, what are you talking about? And the little girl said, I get it, Mom, because Grandma believed in Jesus, that Jesus rose from the dead, right, Mom? And Mom said, yes, that's right. And because Jesus rose from the dead, Grandma is now with God, right, Mom? And Mom said, yeah, that's right. And you've always told us that God is in our hearts, right, Mom? And she said, yeah, that's right. So Mom, if Grandma is with God because Jesus rose from the dead, and if God is in our hearts, then Grandma must be in our hearts too, right, Mom? And doesn't that feel you make you feel so much better, Mom? And her mom, the mom, tears started to trickle down her cheeks. In her melancholy mood, remembering her own mom's passing 10 years earlier, she found a sudden newfound joy in the faith of her little girl. Because her little girl believed that Jesus rose from the dead, and because her mom believed that too, all of a sudden she was filled with great joy. Great faith in the resurrected Lord has a way of bringing joy into even melancholy hearts. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, on this Easter Sunday, help us to understand that even in the midst of tragedy, you bring triumph. In the midst of melancholy, you bring joy. In the midst of our angst, you restore our faith. Help us to truly celebrate the risen Lord this Easter 2017. In your name, amen. So we have come today, truly, as Pastor Greg did some foreshadowing for us on Palm Sunday, we have come today to make sense out of the tragedy of our world and to see where Jesus brings triumph. And to do that, we need to take a look at some of those perhaps unanswered questions that linger from Good Friday. For example, the question that persists from Good Friday is, what's next? The unanswered questions from the foot of the cross force us to realize that there are questions that arise from the empty tomb. Questions like, now what? Where is Jesus? Have you seen him? What has become of Jesus? And as a result, what is to become of us? Those are the questions that lingered from Good Friday and persist on Easter Sunday. You know, if we think back to what the Bible says about the death of Jesus, you know, it never really mentions a funeral, does it? Oh, yes, there is the hurried attempts of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to try and get Jesus down off of the cross and into a tomb before the Sabbath, right? They did that while Mary Magdalene looked on. But there's no real mention of a funeral. We at Good Shepherd have had too many funerals recently. Some tragic funerals involving young, involving older members. Tragedy. And we have experienced way too much tragedy. We have read too many obituaries recently. If Jesus had a funeral, and if there had been newspapers in those days, his obituary would have been listed in the Nazareth News, along with all the other obituaries, section E, page 7. It would have been listed under the J's, right after Jacob and right before Joseph, alphabetically. The obituary may well have read, Jesus of Nazareth was born in 0 AD or 0 BC. You take your pick. He was born to Mary and his earthly father, Joseph, the carpenter from Galilee. He was preceded in death by his father, Joseph and survived by his mother, Mary of Capernaum. During his lifetime, he received some notoriety and publicity because of the unusual occurrence associated with his life, such as the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, and the lame walking. It was also rumored that he changed some people's lives. More recently, according to a short article in the Nazareth News, last Sunday in Jerusalem, large Passover crowds hailed him as king. Shortly thereafter, the crowds turned against him. This past Friday afternoon, he was sentenced to death by the Roman ruler Pontius Pilate. He was killed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Golgotha Hill, the hill of crucifixion, outside the walls of Jerusalem. His burial was in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. His family requests that no flowers be sent, rather memorials be sent to the Eternal Life Fund. If that obituary had been printed in the Nazareth News, everyone would have thought that the Jesus movement had ended. Its leader was now dead. His disciples had disappeared. The stories of his miracles would soon fade away. That little episode would become one small slice in Roman history. It would have been like a pebble thrown into a pond. It would have made a momentary splash, and the ripples would gradually fade away and disappear. And so it was with Jesus of Nazareth, right? His life was just a momentary splash. His reputation, his memory, his teachings would have faded into the smoothness of the sea, except for one unique and very unusual event. On the third day, unbelievably, they discovered that the grave, the tomb, was empty. Jesus of Nazareth had been raised from the dead by the mighty powers of God. He was alive again. He was alive again in a new way, in a new kind of body that would never taste death ever again. And so they shouted out, "He is risen! Hallelujah!" The obituary was wrong. They said he was dead, but they omitted a rather important detail. Yes, he was dead, but he didn't stay dead. And so they were wrong. Like the newspapers way back when that declared that Dewey had defeated Truman, they were wrong. You know, whenever I read an obituary in the paper, I know that the summary of that person's life is incomplete. After all, you can't possibly capture the total essence of a person's life in an obituary, can you? But in the case of Jesus, his obituary is so incomplete that it is misleading. You see, the answer to the questions from the empty tomb transforms the obituary of Jesus into none other than the gospel, the good news. That each question from the empty tomb has been answered. Jesus is alive. He has been found. He is risen, just as he said. And therefore, he transforms our tragedies, that tragedy, into triumph. He transforms tragedy into a triumph that causes us to celebrate the Calvary story. And so the news spread from the angel to Mary and the other Mary, to Peter, to John, to the other disciples, and to thousands of others who did believe. Tragedy was transformed into triumph, and now they could truly celebrate. And as a result, they became new people. They became a new brand of people who were filled with new power, with Easter power, with resurrection power. They were no longer afraid of dying because they were no longer afraid of living because they were no longer afraid of dying. They had a new passion for life because they had an Easter power, a resurrection power inside of them. Why? Because the obituary was wrong. And because they knew that their tragedy had been transformed into triumph, and therefore they could celebrate. And so can we. We have come, no doubt, for a whole lot of reasons today. In fact, if we surveyed this entire group, we could probably compose quite a list of reasons why we are here. But the one reason why we should all be here today is that the obituary was wrong. Jesus did not stay dead. He is alive. And as a result, he transforms all of our tragedies into triumph so we can truly celebrate this Easter 2017. If you believe this, if you really believe this, then one day your obituary will read differently as well. It will say, because your Savior lives, you too shall live. It will say that your time on earth is done, but your life in heaven is eternal. It's just beginning. I hope that my obituary, and I truly hope that it's a long time in coming, I hope that not only will it record all the wonderful things that I've done and the wonderful ways in which people remember me, I plan to write that part myself. Mostly what I hope is that in addition to whatever details might be necessary, it records that while life here on earth, which I enjoyed to the fullest, is now done, life eternal is celebrated forever. It's just beginning. For I believe with all my heart that God transforms all of our tragedies into triumph and gives us reason to truly celebrate life eternal this Easter 2017. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you for turning all of our tragedies into triumph. Thank you for the real reason for celebration this Easter. May we celebrate in that way that truly honors and acknowledges and demonstrates belief in the risen Lord. Amen.